Thessalonians chapter 1. Glad you're here today. Appreciate the Lord meeting with us. Thank God for the Kirsch family. They're always a blessing to us. And choir, y'all did an outstanding job today. Appreciate that. As we look and we start to head into the book of 1 Thessalonians, I want to give you a couple of things by way of introduction into this book. First off, the theme of this book is Christ's return. Whether they believe it or not, He's coming back. And He's coming back soon. And as we look into this book, the key verses is chapter 4, which we'll read right quickly, chapter 4, verse 16 through 18. For your Bible over there says this, "For the Lord Himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore," he says, "comfort one another with these words." And I'm very comforted to know that the Lord that saved us is the Lord that's coming to get us. Amen. He's not going to entrust that to somebody else to carry us off. He's going to come get us himself. Amen. And as we look in this book, we got 5 chapters, 89 verses, 1,837 words, all inspired by God, preserved forever in the King James Bible on a 6.7 grade level for this book. And if we were to outline this book, the first chapter would deal with the power of the gospel. We're reminded down in verse 5 of chapter 1, "For our gospel came not in word only, but also in power and in the Holy Ghost and in much assurance." God's word never returns to Him void, but it goes out in power also. It's not just words on a page. When I hear people say, "Well, that's just a leather book with printed words on it," well, depending on what the words are.
Right.
But I see also chapter 2 deals with the preaching of the gospel and how I've seen one of our missionaries recently said that preaching still works. I'm glad to know our missionaries believe that, ain't you? Amen. And I see also chapter 3 deals with the persecution of the gospel, which is something that's familiar to all Christians, no matter how old, how young, or whatever they are. And then we see chapter 4 deals with the promise of the gospel, which is, of course, the rapture of the church, Him coming to get us. And then chapter 5 goes through some things about the permanence of the gospel. When we get to looking in this book, if you'll notice this, that Christ is all in 1 Thessalonians in the fact of this. Chapter 1, verse 10, the Bible tells us He's going to rescue us. It says in verse 10, "And to wait for His Son from heaven, whom He raised from the dead, even Jesus, which delivered us from the wrath to come." I'll deal with this more in just a few more minutes, but you see, He had delivered us from the wrath to come. We're not going through it.
That's right.
Amen. That ain't talking about hell. That's talking about tribulation.
Yep.
Jeremiah chapter 30 says that's the time of Jacob's trouble.
Right.
Well, if it's Jacob's trouble, you ain't Jacob. You a Gentile. You in the church. Now that you in the church, God put Jew and Gentile in the church. But when He comes after He raptures the church, He's going to deliver us out of wrath to come, and He's going to deal with this world.
Right.
They think He's not coming. Guess what? Big surprise headed your way. Remember that Jesus you make fun of on the Comedy Channel? He's coming back.
That's right. Yep.
Secondly, we see that Christ will be here to reward us. Chapter 2, verse 19. He says, "For what is our hope, our joy, or crown of rejoicing? Are not even ye in the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ at His coming?" What will that bring us? We'll see. Listen, we'll see Him reward the saints of God for their labor here on this earth. The Bible tells us right now we're putting up gold, silver, and precious stones, or wood, hay, and stubble. What we do for Him that He says do, that's gold, silver, and precious stones. It'll be taken through a judgment fire, and that thing will come out a crown on the other side that you'll be able to put at Jesus' feet, because it was Him that done the whole thing anyway. And then we see chapter 3, if you look down at verse 13, says, "To the end He may establish your hearts unblameable in holiness before God, even our Father, at the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ with all His saints." I see also He said He's going to establish your hearts unblameable. I'll say this, Christ in chapter 3 will refine us. You and I, listen, we got saved, our souls were saved. Our destination has been fulfilled. We've got a mansion in heaven and all that. But we're just not perfect yet. What's He going to do? It says that He's going to do something in our hearts to make them unblameable in holiness. What is that? He's going to refine us. Because of chapter 3, listen to this, if chapter 3 deals with persecution, persecution is what grows you in the Lord. While everybody's going around slapping you on the back and telling you what a good boy or good girl you are, you generally don't do very well after that. But you let the bottom drop out, the rain come down, the sides get knocked out, and everything go awry. The next thing you know is, oh God. And He uses that to refine you. And I see also in chapter 4, we see the fact that He's going to bring the rapture of the church. And one of the reasons He was writing to them in chapter 4, verse 13 says, "But I would not have you be ignorant, brethren." There's the largest congregation in the world right now, the ignorant brethren. And the reason I say that, ignorant means you don't know. A lot of folks don't know what's going on around them. They don't know the Word of God. And therefore, they get led astray by every wind of doctrine. There's a crowd in this world today that says the rapture isn't going to happen. Guess what? The Bible said you'd be here saying that. He said in the last days there'd be scoffers come. We've had more people in the last 50 years say the rapture ain't going to come than the last 5,000 years. It's a shame. But here's the shame about the thing. He said there that they some ignorant brethren. Paul, obviously, after he left, somebody come in and said, "Well, that Paul wasn't telling you the truth. There ain't going to be no rapture." And he says, "I won't tell this." He said, "But I'm going to have you ignorant brethren." He said, "Because if they was, your dead crowd wouldn't go nowhere. They're already where they're going." He says, "For I would not have you be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep." He says, "That you saw or not, even as others which have no hope." Why is that? Because they go first. They go first. Their bodies come up first and meets their soul in the air.
Right.
You say, "How do you know that?" Because the Bible says so.
Right.
So you got any scientific proof? Yeah, I got it right here writing. Scientifically, they trim this off a tree. Scientifically, they squeeze something out to get some ink out of it. And scientifically, they put it on a page, and God preserved it forever in our Bibles. And we got it right here, whether they like it or not.
Right.
I notice this. He'll also come, and He'll restore us back to the way we're supposed to be when we get that glorified body. I'm glad, thank God, He's doing all this, because ain't a gym in the world could help this. No restoration here. I seen something the other day where a fellow said, he said, "I'm going to color my hair." I said, "I'm going to do the same thing, but he'd color my whole head." And I said, "I guess I can't do that one." He said, and then somebody had something for sale the other day. And if y'all know what this is, please don't tell me. I don't want to know because it's probably bad anyway. And I hate to even bring it up. But they said something, they had something they'd sell me that I could wrap around my belly and it'd make me thin. I said, "Dana, the device in this world can do that other than a surgery knife and just cut the thing right off there." I said, "But there's no way you're going to talk me into paying you any amount of money to wrap something around me and I'll be skinny by morning." I don't believe it.
Right.
I grew up on the Three Stooges. See, I'm telecon when I see one.
Right.
I know slapstick when it's going on, you know.
Yeah.
But as we look in the Word of God in 1 Thessalonians, I want to show you some things today that I believe will help you. And I'm going to preach to you on Christ is coming. So let's go to the Lord in prayer. Our Father, we thank You today, God, for letting us be here and be alive. And God, while we're here in the house of God, I pray, Lord God, that You'll speak to our hearts and help us. Lord, we are a needy people today that need You. And Lord, as we come today, I pray, God, that You'd help us, Lord God, to understand the Word of God according to Psalm 119, verse 18. "Open Thou mine eyes, that I may behold wondrous things out of Thy law." I pray, God, that You'd help us take in the Word of God, that, Lord, we'd lose the ignorant part and just be brethren. I pray, Father, You'd help me to preach today, Lord. I pray, God, that You'd help me to preach according to 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 2, to preach the Word, be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort, with all long-suffering and doctrine. And, Lord, we thank You in advance for everything You're going to do for us. In Jesus' precious and holy name we pray, and for His sake, amen. As we look today, let's just look at the facts of Christ coming. Fact number one, if you look in chapter 1 over here, verse number 10, Christ's coming is sure. There are five places in 1 Thessalonians that tell us that, each one of them at the end of the chapter here. It says, "And to wait for His Son from heaven," it says, "whom He raised from the dead." Just in case you don't know which one He's talking about, there's only one, and it's the one He raised from the dead, which is Jesus, which delivered us from the wrath to come. I'm glad, thank God, that His coming is sure, because we need to be out of here by the time He starts dealing with this world.
Right.
See, this world is right now. Everything is chaos on every corner. There's terrorists in every land. Listen, we've got so numb to terrorist attacks, there's been three this week that hadn't even fazed you. Two of them you didn't even know about. So where are they at? Where are they taking in refugees, all in countries? Guess who else is taking them in? We are. Now, with all that turmoil going on, they're screaming they need somebody to restore peace. Well, He's coming.
Yeah.
He's coming.
Right.
But first thing he's going to do is pull his church out of here. And for 3.5 years without us being here, there's going to be peace on this earth. Because Jesus said, I didn't come to bring peace that first time he came. I come to bring a sword and divide people.
Right.
You take our part of the equation out of it, guess what? The division's gone. Everybody will be able to go to the tattoo parlor, get 666 put on their head or their hand. They'll be able to maybe get a computer chip or eat some kind of pill that will make them... I don't know. I don't know how that's going to work out, but I know this. They will be marked. And you will not go to the grocery store without it. You won't go to McDonald's without it. You won't go nowhere without it. And if you plan on buying and selling, you got to have that.
Right.
Most people will give in right away, and they'll take that thing and say, you know what? This man that's over us now, this world leader, he's the best thing that's ever happened. Say, who is he? He's going to say he's God. He's not God. He's the Antichrist.
Right.
When you hear somebody get up and say that no matter whether your God's Allah, Buddha, or Jesus, it's all the same God, not the same God.
That's right. Amen.
Jesus said it like this, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. And I know that our Lord wouldn't lie to us, and I know He said for a fact that He'd come get us, and He's going to come get us to deliver us from the wrath to come.
Yeah.
That does not mean there will not be persecution beforehand, because in chapter 3 He deals with that.
Right.
You and I, listen, we're on the front end of some things right now.
Yeah.
But I know this, His coming is sure. Look at chapter 2. Look all the way down at verse number 19. His coming is sure. He said, for what is our hope? Our joy or crown of rejoicing are not even ye in the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ at His coming. I see His coming is sure. He said, you're already in the line for it. He said there for a fact that we got a joy, a crown of rejoicing. He said, what is that? He said, are you not in the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ at His coming? I've heard people try to explain away the rapture of the church and say this will happen or that will happen. I know this much. He's coming and we're already in His presence.
Yep.
To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. One day the body's going to take off and it's going to be present with the Lord. But here's the good part. We're already in His presence now.
Yep.
It's not like we're going to be taken by surprise by this because He's already here. He'll take you out of here, take your body out of here, take the dead in Christ with Him, and He's going to make it just as plain as day to you. The Bible tells us in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 that He's going to send this world a strong delusion. They'll never know what happened.
Right.
They'll have some explanations. They're gearing them up for them right now. Have you noticed every time you turn on the TV, you see a monster? And I'm not talking about the politicians. I mean monsters, you know, and all that stuff. You know why that is? Because they're fixing to be a whole horde of them unleashed on this world. God's wanting you to trust Him. The devil's trying to get you to trust his crowd. I go through the children's toys. Back when I was a kid, you walked through there. There was toy ray guns. We used to have a plastic space shuttle they used to sell up at Rose's. Different little things like that. Little Star Wars guys and things like that. And the girls had a whole row of Barbies. And I think that's the only thing they had because I didn't spend too much time over there because I was with the other crowd, you understand. But I know this. If I walk through that toy aisle now, I see more monsters on the shelf for some reason. I just started noticing this here lately, and I'm thinking, what is the obsession with this world in that? And then it dawned on me. They're setting us up for something. But that's okay. Keep setting her up because we're already in the presence of our Lord. He's going to take care of it. His coming is sure. Now notice this in chapter 3, again at verse 13. He says, to the end, He may establish your hearts unblameable in holiness before God. Even our Father, at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ with all His saints. His coming is sure because He said, with all His saints. So what about them that died? They're coming. They're coming back with Him to meet their bodies in the air, have a glorified body, all of us together at one time. All the saints that have died in Christ, all the saints that are alive in Christ, at one moment, we'll all be in the air together. You say, boy, that'll be a sight to see. Not for anybody else, because it's going to over like that. See, we see pictures drawn where people are going to the rapture. You know, it don't work like that. It's bang, quick, twinkling of an eye. You can't, by the time you blinked, you missed it. That's how fast it is. And see, His coming is sure. And I see He said that He's sure about one other thing. There ain't going to be none left out.
Right.
You notice that word all right there? Boy, ain't that a good word. Even the, listen, the best Christians you know and the slackest Christians you know all together. All of them. And I notice this, we get over to chapter 4, down at verse 15, he says, "For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain to the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep." I asked the funeral director one time what all they do to make sure nothing gets in that casket. Have you ever thought about this? This is kind of funny in a way, but not so funny. But if you die right now, they'll have to take out two rows to find out which one of you are dead. And once they figure out which one it is, they'll take you up to a place called a funeral home. They'll take you in there, wash you down, put that blood out of you, put that other stuff in you, paint your face up, comb your hair if you got any. I'm watching you. You gotta keep eye on these bald people.
Amen. Right.
They'll get you a nice suit of clothes on, whatever it is you picked out for that thing, or somebody picks out for you. They'll find you the prettiest little box to put you in. That thing is waterproof and airproof once they shut it. You ever notice when they shut that thing, they twist that key? That's so nobody can get in, not that, you know, you ain't coming out. They figured out you're there. And then they're going to take you to a graveside, and when they get there, there's this thing in the ground that's already there. It's called a vault. They lower that casket down in there, then they take that vault thing and put it down on top of there and they seal that. Then they put about 4.5 feet of dirt on top of it, and there you are. That's to keep people out. See, what reason, if you ever wonder why there's so stupid things goes on in this world, so much stupid rules, somebody violated something to make it that way. And in the case of this crowd right here, they've been robbing graves since the time of years and years and years gone by. If they think you buried with a gold tooth, guess what they're going to do? They're going to dig you up and pull teeth. They think you've got a nice $10,000 watch on, somebody would try to get that. Right? Now here's the thing. All that stuff I just described to you is to keep you out. Try to get into the casket with somebody, get their stealer stuff. But say, what about the rapture? Oh, no problem. Because in a moment, the twinkling of an eye, he said they'll not prevent them which are asleep. You know why? They'll have a glorified body right then, and it's coming up. Listen, some of you are worried about this thing. I know that heathens practice cremation. That's all in America right now, and that's all fine and good. But if you're cremated, if you're buried, and let's say that vault, as an earthquake happens, and that thing gets cracked. Well, a worm goes down in that thing, and he's found there. Hey, guys, there's food down here. And they eat you up. And all them worms spread out full and fat, and they go back up the surface because they want to get some fresh oxygen, maybe a little rain up there, and they don't realize that they just bored up to the top of a chicken coop. As soon as the chicken sees that thing, he eats that worm and part of you. Then Grandpa goes out there and sees that chicken and says, "You know what? We need to have Sunday dinner." And he grabs that chicken by the head. He wrings his neck real good. He takes him inside. Grandma plucks the feathers off of him, boils all that stuff off, cuts him up into delicious portions, and places him in the frying pan. And then you eat the chicken. And at the moment, in the twinkling of an eye, when the rapture happens, all of you that spread out like that over that is going to come back together just like that. And it won't prevent them which are asleep.
Right.
I'm glad God keeps track of all that, don't you? So I can be in three places at the same time then. Yeah, at that point in time you will probably be more than three. But God's got track of the whole thing.
That's right.
Jesus said, "All that come to me, I've not cast out any of them. I know where they all at." Ain't that something? Look at chapter 5 over here. Chapter 5, verse 23. He says, "Until said time," he says, watch this, "and the very God of peace sanctify you wholly." That's not H-O-L-Y, that's W-H-O-L-L-Y. That's the whole thing, that's all of you. He said, "And I pray God your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ." It's funny how this world tries to keep solving problems where they don't know what the problem is. The problem is this. man is not in the image of God. He ruined that image in Genesis chapter 3 and has been trying to fake it with fig leaves ever since. God requires a blood sacrifice for sins, and that blood sacrifice being the Lord Jesus Christ, and His resurrection from the grave. And He says that thing right there, He said that He's the very God of peace. It says, sanctify you wholly. That's inside and out. When somebody tells me they live like a devil, but they say, I'm saved on the inside, they may very well be, but it's possible. It's very possible they are. But probably what it is, they've never realized this. God didn't just want to work on the inside. He wanted the whole thing.
Right.
That's why I said W-H-O-L-L-Y. And Paul says, as I pray God, your whole spirit. That's the part of you that's dead when you're born in this world. That spirit's dead. You must be born again. Your body didn't get born again. Your soul didn't get born again. What got born again? Spirit. Your whole spirit and soul need that sanctified too. Need it set apart for the Lord Jesus Christ. He said, and body. All three things sanctified. Don't listen. Don't give God a body that's not sanctified and try to tell everybody, well, my soul and spirit's okay. Two out of three ain't bad, you know, and all that. Don't give into that line of thinking. Give God the whole thing. That's kind of like when somebody says, how much do you tithe? I don't tithe anything. I give the whole thing to God, and He tells me what He needs. You know why I trust Him? Because He always takes care of everything I need. You know why God can do all that? Because He's still God. And if He says He wants the spirit, the soul, and body preserved blameless, hey, look at that. He said this thing until a particular time. And that time is the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. So what do we do then? We'll be with Him. It won't matter. He'll take care of it from there. But as for right now, He wants to sanctify you. He wants you to set yourself apart. And He sets you apart for His service, whatever that service may be.
Right.
He may be on the prowl today looking for somebody to be the next prayer warrior that'll spend time with him and be the next George Mueller. He may be trying to deal with somebody about being the next missionary that goes out to the heathen out there that don't speak English and never seen a person like you before. And he may want to send you out to a tribe of headhunters. Could you imagine walking out and saying, I'm here for the Lord? And they say, yeah, dinner. Thank you, Lord. Dinner. Imagine having to reach that crowd. You're thinking gospel. They're thinking, Somehow you got to figure out how to reach them before they reach you.
Yeah.
Say, could God do that? God's done it before.
Sure.
See, listen. His arm's not short that it cannot save. These people that can't be reached, God can reach them. God's got a way of doing that. But I see this. The facts about His coming is sure. And it's also secret. His coming being secret. Look over at Matthew chapter 25. It's secret. His coming is secret. Matthew chapter 25. And down at verse 13. The Bible says here, He's talking to the Jews here, He says this, watch therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour wherein the Son of Man cometh. You see that? So is He coming tomorrow at 1:10 p.m. when the eclipse shows up? Doggone it. By the way, here's a public service announcement from me to you. If you paid a dollar for something to look at the sun with, please tell me you're smarter than doing that. Because all it would take is the wrong piece of film and them glasses that the Chinese guy forgot to put in there when he was making them over in the factory, and you'll be blind by this time Tuesday. Please don't do that. So how can we see it? You've got that cool phone in your hand. It's got video. Watch it on that. Don't be taken in by all that stuff. I didn't learn the last week. Somebody told me that Jesus was coming. They did. They said Jesus is coming when that thing comes. So that eclipse is going to happen. Planet X is going to appear out of nowhere. And the earth is going to be destroyed. And Jesus is coming. I said, you do realize them three things don't fit together, right? Because see, the earth isn't going to be destroyed. Because when Christ comes and gets His church, He's taking us out of here for 7 years. And He's coming back to run it for 1,000. So if that thing happens right now, if the rapture happens right now, we've got 1,007 years left on the lease on this planet before God makes
That's
a new
right.
earth.
Amen. That's right.
He is really going to run it.
Yep.
And I see this. I see that His coming is so secret that He says that you neither know the day nor the hour. I've had people, when I was little, there was a show on TV that late comedian Robin Williams done. How many remembers it? Mork from Ork. And the first couple of seasons there's a guy wearing a dress and a mo haircut. And he is over there making, they had that on that show to parody. All these people said, Mork, the earth ends Labor Day. Y'all remember that guy? And guess what happened? Labor Day came and went. There was a pamphlet out one time about 86 reasons Christ will come in 86, 1986. Well, the next year they put out 187 reasons why I'll come in 87. They said, man, you got to understand, this thing coming up tomorrow, it's going to be the fulfillment of prophecy and the moons and this, that, and other. You neither know the day nor the hour. Right. That's what the Lord said. See, I bought that guy's book. He got you. I don't buy anybody's book predicting the second coming because they don't know what they're talking about.
Right.
He said they need to know the day nor the hour. Now, when somebody says they believe in either mid or post-tribulation rapture, I mean, they think we're going to go 3.5 years or go through 7 years, then we're going to be raptured up and then right back down. I've got this to say to them. If anything you said was true about that, here's the catch to it. You ready for this? If we knew from the time we got out of here, if we see a man show up and wants us to get a tattoo on our forehead or hand, he's wanting to rule the world and he's bringing peace to this world, we know 7 years from that day right there, Jesus is coming back. Right on top. We know. Or if it was mid-tribulation, we know when he shows up, we got 3.5 years of this stuff, and then we'll be raptured out of here. He said, you don't know the day nor the hour.
Right.
See that? Pretty plain, ain't it? It's just like a Bible to clear up all the problems, ain't it?
Right.
Take the mud out of the water, if you will. Amen. And I see for a fact, he said this also to them Jews. Watch, therefore.
Yeah.
Watch, therefore. Listen, in the Greek, that don't mean sell your house and stand on top of a mountain somewhere and wait on them to get here.
Right.
I could say it means several things. Watch your message. Make sure you got the right message. Watch your ministry. Make sure you're doing what you're supposed to be doing for the Lord. Watch your stinking mouth. Amen and amen. Watch what you say. It's hard to do that sometimes because that tongue is a fire. It's set on fire of hell. It's unruly evil. But listen, you need to watch your mouth.
Yeah.
Watch your manners. When somebody's older than you talking, utche the alphame.
Yeah.
That's old people talk. They deserve it. Amen. They know more than you anyway. So how'd you figure that out? They've made it longer. This world ain't easy.
That's right.
I hear all these young people complaining and falling apart, and these old people going, praise the Lord. I see what the difference is.
Yeah.
Listen, my grandpa told me if he wasn't 80 years old, he said, if I wasn't smart enough to get here on a fifth grade education, he said, you got 12, you ain't going to make it yet, son. He was right. Time to wisen up.
Come on.
I see also when he says, watch therefore, his coming is secret. And every time, you can almost guarantee this throughout history, whenever somebody has stated for a fact it's going to happen, you can almost mark that day that it's not going to happen that day.
Right.
Yeah. Ain't that something? Mm-hmm. Listen, this world is divided into 24 time zones. This is why you won't know the day nor the hour. It'll be that time somewhere all over this planet.
Yeah. Yeah.
It'll be midnight somewhere, noon somewhere, all the way around. It's almost like God designed that thing when He said that. He already knew this stuff, didn't He? Look at this. Christ's coming is also sudden. If you look back in Revelation chapter 22, very last book of the Bible back there, Revelation 22, last chapter, there's a phrase you need to acquaint yourself with back here. Revelation 22, and this is located three times in this chapter. One simple phrase. Revelation chapter 22, down at verse 7, he says, behold, I come quickly. Blessed is he that keepeth the sayings of the prophecy of this book. His coming is sudden. You see that word quickly? Before you even think about it and realize it's happened, it's already happened. He said, behold, I come quickly. And he points out by keeping the sayings of the prophecy of this book, he said, that's the blessed crowd. Now watch this. Look down at verse 12. And behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me to give every man according as his work shall be. When he comes to get us, he's coming suddenly, and guess what? The mansion's already built.
Right.
Ain't that something? Your body gets glorified in an instant. No more disease, no more death, no more anything. You'll have a body like His. And the Bible says His reward is with me to give every man as his work shall be. God will reward you accordingly. And then He says down in verse 20, says, He that testifieth these things saith, surely I come quickly, amen, even so come, Lord Jesus. His coming is sudden, and John puts it this way under the inspiration of God. He said, even so come, Lord Jesus. If you run into a young Christian when they first get saved, they're all about the blessed hope and glorious appearing of the Lord Jesus Christ. They want everybody to go. And then down the road somewhere, some of these young Christian men, they'll be called to the ministry. And they'll want the rapture to happen, but not until they start their ministry because they're so heart set towards it and everything. Okay? But you let that same Christian or that same preacher get about 25 years on, 30 years, guess what they're going to say? Even so come, Lord Jesus.
Right.
See, John, while he was known as the Son of Thunder, after 3.5 years of Jesus, he became the Apostle of Love. He realized some things. He started walking with the Lord in a different way. Most of these Bible historians look back and they can identify John as being the pastor of a church called Ephesus at one point. They can also look back and realize, too, that this man John was exiled on this island he's on here. That's why when he writes, he says, there'll be no more sea. He'll be glad to see all the water gone. Because he's trapped out there on it by himself. He said he'll be glad to see that. But he says this, I'll be glad to see him.
That's right.
He said, even so come, Lord Jesus. Listen, hey, I'm going to join in with him with this thing. Even so come, Lord Jesus. Tear down another statue. Start another fire. Even so come, Lord Jesus.
Right.
Another war, get ready to start. Even so come, Lord Jesus. See how you want this thing more and more the more you think about what's going on? Because guess what? He'll be there to take care of it all. And he'll come suddenly when you least expect it.
Right.
I've always heard people say this. What if he comes today? What if he does? Are you ready? He's only coming to get to save people. Here's a danger you face. Look over to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. If you look down at verse number 10, 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, he points this out. With all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they receive not the love of the truth, underline these five words, that they might be saved. What happened? They rejected Jesus Christ. They rejected the Lord Jesus Christ. Back in verse 8, talking about when that wicked be revealed. Verse 7, the mystery of iniquity. Verse 3, let no man deceive you, except there come a falling away. First, we're in the middle of that falling away right now. And it says down here in verse 11, and for this cause God shall send them strong delusion that they should believe a lie. That they, talking about the crowd over here that's not saved, that they should, is that they all might be damned who believe not the truth but had pleasure in unrighteousness. It's not everybody going to hell at that point. It's the folks that sit on church pews, heard the gospel, and rejected Jesus Christ, that He never changed their life. They didn't know Him. Matthew chapter 7, depart from me, I never knew you. When the rapture takes place, all the so-called fakers that sit behind, guess what happens to them? They'll never know what happened. It was UFOs that come down. Well, I knew there's something. They evolved out of here. You know, we can't have that kind of negativity in the world. Now we got peace because all the negative people have evolved out. Nature took care of them. See how this thing plays out. But the very crowd that hears the gospel and rejects our Lord, He said they're doomed on the spot when this happens. There'll be people saved throughout the tribulation. 144,000 male Jewish virgins start preaching the gospel. Israel turns to the Lord. I mean, they'll be reaching people, yes, tens of thousands. But all these fake and phony people that sit in churches week in and week out, and they're there to cause trouble, and they're there to start mischief, and the only time you get them to church, they say, we have a business meeting, vote out the preacher, and then 10,000 of them show up on you. The crowd that says, you know, I'm a Christian, I go to church, I said, we can't find you unless we put chicken on the table.
Oh,
Can't find you. And I see that it's a sad thing because it said these folks are deceived.
Right.
Who deceived them? Oh, I don't know. Probably that wicked, that mystery of iniquity right there in verse 7 and 8.
Right.
He's a deceiver and a liar.
Right.
Everybody who's not born again don't get to go.
Right.
If you're not born again, you don't see the rapture of the church.
Yeah.
And if you sit through messages like this over and over and over, and you keep rejecting Him, one day you won't have to worry about it. We'll be taken out of here, and that'll be it. Let me put it to you plainly. Flesh and blood shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Is that what your Bible says in 1 Corinthians 15?
Yep.
So there's no amount of work you can do to get there. He's got to change that flesh and blood. But you and I that's sitting here right now, if you're sitting here lost, please don't walk out them doors. Please don't go out there another day. Please don't say, I'll do it next week. There may not be a next week. There may not. Let's stand with every head bowed, every eye closed.